Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Memories of church. My earliest memories are of worship. It was a small rural church. As a child, I remember the singing, because the song leader who stood up front and led the singing had a finger missing. And that's the only thing I could concentrate on when wondered why he didn't have a finger. I remember the preaching because it was always loud and the preacher always seemed angry. And I particularly remember the praying because when they prayed, everyone prayed extemporaneously, out loud, all at the same time. What are your earliest memories of church? I suspect for many of you, your memories are of worship as well. Because worship is that primary time when the community gathers together. Our fall discipleship focus, River Deep, Mountain High. We focus on are focusing on our membership vows and how we experience God's living and giving and living power and presence in our lives. We began last week with a look at prayer, that first part of our membership vow. For prayer is the foundation for all else that follows. Prayer is what connects us with that living power of Christ that enables us to wholeheartedly follow Him. Well, this week we want to look at the second element of that membership vow, and that is presence. That we vow to support the church with our presence. So does that mean that we're supposed to be here for every event that takes place? Well, the answer is obviously no. This church has way too many events, way too many things going on for you to be here every time there's something going on. But it does mean that you will be present when the community gathers. And the community primarily gathers for worship on Sunday morning, and we do it every week. This gospel lesson from John that Mona just read for us is an appropriate passage for us today as we think about presence and worship. So let me set the stage for you a little bit with that passage. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus only comes to Jerusalem one time. But in John's gospel, Jesus makes multiple trips to Jerusalem. And this trip was for the Festival of Tabernacles, or the Festival of Booths. It goes by both of those names. It is the seventh festival on the Jewish calendar, and it is one of three Jewish festivals that require a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It's a seven-day festival that does occur in September or October, depending on the Jewish calendar. It's a harvest festival, an opportunity to celebrate the fall harvest, although today most Jews are not farmers. But it's also a time not just for giving thanks for the harvest, but it's a time of remembrance, of giving thanks and remembering Israel's 40 years wandering in the wilderness and how God provided for them during those 40 years. And during this seven-day festival, the people are to construct temporary shelters. That's where they get the word booths from. And the people are to live in those booths or those shelters for those 7 days to help remind them of the temporary life that they had as they wandered in the wilderness when Israel had no permanent home. And so Jesus, early in the week, early during the festival, Jesus goes into the temple and begins to teach. The people were amazed at his knowledge and all that he had to say. Although the Pharisees weren't very happy because some of the people were beginning to think that just maybe this Jesus guy could be the Messiah. And so they tried to arrest him but were unable to do that. And then Jesus enters the temple again on the very last day of the festival, and he begins to teach again. Jesus has an astonishing invitation and charge for us in this last bit of teaching. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. We all know what it's like to be thirsty, to have our mouth parched, feeling like a desert. We also know what it's like to have a nice drink of ice-cold water to quench that thirst. Well, sometimes we use that word thirst to indicate some great desire for something in our lives. This may not happen to anyone else but me, but occasionally I get this desire for something to eat. You know, I want something really good, but I can't think of what it is. I can't think of what it might be. So I eat something. It fills me up physically, but it doesn't satisfy that desire. You know, I can eat a bologna sandwich, and it'll fill me up, but it doesn't quite satisfy like a medium rare ribeye. Now, of course, Jesus isn't talking about a parched mouth. He's talking about a parched soul. Because we also know what it's like to have a parched soul. To have this feeling that there is something missing in our life, but we can't quite put our finger on it. We know what it is to have that hole inside of us that nothing seems to fill. And that's because God created us for a relationship with Him. And so there is this God-shaped hole in us that nothing will quite fit in that hole except a relationship with God. St. Augustine said that we are restless until we rest in God. And so when Jesus says, let any who thirst come to me and drink, he's talking about filling that God-shaped hole in our soul. The only thing that will fill it is that relationship with God that we have through Christ by the Holy Spirit. The problem that many of us face is that we can't always identify what's missing in our lives. It's like desiring that ribeye but eating a bologna sandwich. Because we don't always recognize what's missing. We don't recognize it as that relationship with God. And we often try to fill it with all kinds of things. You know, if I just had a new car or a new house or a new boat or a new whatever. And marketers are more than ready to tell us what new thing we need that will quench that thirst in our soul. That's not a slam on marketers. They're just doing their job. It's not a slam on consumerism. If you have disposable income, you ought to be able to buy whatever you want, as long as it's legal. But once we have chased after all of those shiny new objects, we often discover, or we will discover, that there is still this thirst in our soul. There is still something in our soul that is not filled, because the only thing that will fill it is a relationship with God. Our consistent presence in worship will help us keep that desire, help keep it filled in us. Someone said recently that when they miss worship, they feel like there is something missing in their life. Now, worship is not the only activity that connects us with God and that deepens our relationship with God, but it is the primary opportunity we have for keeping that relationship strong with God and with others. I've had people over the years tell me that they didn't need to come to worship, to a worship service to worship God, that they can worship God while on a hike or while they're fishing. And you know, that's absolutely true. You don't have to be in a worship service to worship God. And a great place to worship God is out in the midst of God's wonderful creation. And I hope and I encourage you, all of you, to have moments of private worship in your life where it's just you and God. Matter of fact, I hope you do that every day. However, there is something about worshiping in community. You see, not only did God create us to have a relationship with Him, God also created us to be in community with one another. And when the community gathers together to sing and pray and celebrate the sacraments, when we do that together, we draw strength and inspiration from those around us. Our worship is multifaceted. We accomplish several things during this hour of worship. We have an opportunity to express our love and our gratitude to God through our acts of worship. We have the opportunity to respond to God's presence in our lives. We have the opportunity to offer support and encouragement to the worshipers around us. And we have the opportunity to open our hearts to receive the grace, the strength, the power of God that we need for living our lives. You know, there are times that a song or a prayer, a sacrament or a ritual, the scripture, there are times those events in worship, they can put into words what we're feeling. They can put into words what our heart has been unable to identify and to articulate. One of the difficult parts of worship is actually something we probably never think of, and that is acknowledging our vulnerability. While we come to worship to offer our praise and our thanksgiving, we also must acknowledge our powerlessness to quench that thirst in our soul. That we do not have the power to quench it ourselves. We often think of ourselves as self-sufficient, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps kind of people. And we have a hard time admitting that we might need help with something. But when we come into worship, we must come as little children, admitting our vulnerability and our powerlessness, and open our hearts to Christ and allow Him to be the one to fill us. We must be able to admit that we are thirsty. Part of Jesus' teaching in the temple that day was a little bit radical. The radical part is that out of the believer's heart flows rivers of living water. I don't know about you, but I don't usually think of rivers of living water flowing out of my heart. But that's what happens in worship. Rivers of living water, of life-giving water, flows out of the believer's heart to quench the thirst of those around them. Sometimes it can be through a simple gesture, something as simple as a warm smile and a welcoming smile, telling someone you're glad they're here today. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement that we might give someone. But I tell you what fills my heart on Sunday morning is that when I stand up front and I look around at you all and I see God touching your heart because I can see it in your face, and in those moments, rivers of living water are flowing out of your heart to me. Worship is our primary place to be present. Worship is our opportunity to experience river deep and mountain high. Worship is our opportunity to experience the life-giving power and presence of God in our life, while at the same time allowing life-giving water to flow out of our hearts into the lives of others. So this morning I say to you, let the river flow. Let the river flow into your life, and let the river flow out of your life into the lives of others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.